What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red. We gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
Yes, sir. This is another episode of the What Is TWS podcast.
Yeah,
I believe we're in the 30s now. Like we're not just dirty 30. We done
episodes match our age.
We done moved up. I said, hey, we got a ways to go. We got a little bit to go. But yeah, episode 31.
We getting there.
We are getting there. Rich is back. Welcome back, sir.
Rich Nerd.
As always,
glad to be here.
I am Jay Flan. And we're going to get right to business. Let's see. So, we got to talk to you about the Super Bowl. That happened. It got to be addressed. It happened.
A lot of people feel cheated. And when I watched the game, I'm not no expert.
Yeah.
I saw two knees on the ground. I saw a man in the end zone blocking him, passing that field of plane, but they won.
My thing about it is it should have never gotten to that point. There was no reason for it to be that close of a game. That was
Golden
just,
State all over again.
Yeah, that was just a huge flop. I don't know what happened to that team. No way you should be up 19 points going into the fourth quarter and lose.
Yeah.
It's just not.
And what was crazy is that last touchdown, Tom Brady went up the field fast as shit.
Yeah, I know, because I didn't see it, because I left the Super Bowl party I was at as they were going into overtime, like right at the end of regulation. They hadn't flipped a coin or anything. I had already left. Before I could even get home.
Did you catch the replay?
Patriots won. When I got home, I didn't want to see nothing. I didn't want to turn on the TV and see the confetti coming down.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see no trophy presentation.
They marched straight up the field, uncontested, straight to, like, the fuck? Like, y'all just not going to stop them. Y'all not going to do nothing. Y'all just going to let them go. They just walk straight up the end of the field.
I think it was one of those things where the Falcons might have been like, you know what, this is, like, we can't stop them because this is destiny for them. Like, nobody can stop this team. Like, that one catch that dude made.
That was levitated. That was ridiculous.
He let go of it, like, an inch off the ground. Mm-hmm. It just levitated in the air until he could put his hands back. Like, it just seemed like, you know, maybe they just thought the forces of nature were against them.
Brady made that deal.
He made that deal.
You already know. So, that little, what was that, 15 yards that he ran? Legs stiff as shit? Man. Because he was on stilts.
I know Richard Goodell had to feel a certain kind of way. He had to hand him that trophy. But, hey, it's over. It happened.
Yeah, that shit.
It's over. My life continued on. What is TWS is still here. They haven't taken us down yet, so... Fuck it, though.
Yeah, a lot of people not happy about that one.
Yeah. Well, at least my Saturday night was better. Sunday night was a little fucked up, a little disappointing. But my Saturday night was better. The whole our hangout, our boys, guys night time at the hookah spot was pretty cool.
Shout out to T. Stiegel.
And so the thing about the hookah spot, Rich, and this goes back to when I was asking for, like, those three free freakouts when, like, a person has... Yeah. A challenge.
Who was a freak out moment in
this? It's not a freak out like he had a lazy eye. It's like I want to be racist one time so I can stop thinking about it. Like,
yeah,
I'll do the greatest, like, hookah advisor known to man. I just wanted to say one time he would come up, I just want to be my friend. Like, if I could do it, if I could get it out of my system.
I feel like he's that type of guy though. Like, if you did it, he wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah, he wouldn't get upset about it.
He do be. He
but
does.
If I could call him over, because I don't know his name, if I could be like, my friend.
What about that new dude who recommended the K special?
But he was all right.
He kept acting like he knew what he was doing, trying to do all types of tricks and sleight of hand. And
yeah, just he blowing ashes and shit in there.
Spilling shit all over Tom.
Yeah. Got embers, burning embers on my laptop. That could have been an issue.
Yeah, that could have been a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that was crazy. But I kind of want to do it next time I go there.
My friend.
My friend, how are you?
I think he is our friend.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
I don't know. I wish I could kind of get a pass. Like I said, I want to get a freak out pass. Like, if you got a lazy eye or you got a limp or something, I need like one time to be able to, be, you know, just get it out of my system. Like that Austin Powers joint. If you got a mole, just let me. I just need to be able. If he could have said it one time,
address it. Yeah,
he could have gotten past it. You know, but pretending like you don't see it,
ain't gonna help.
It ain't working. So yeah, I need that one time. But then on the other side of that, right? So I went to go see, I told you I was real excited to see it, and I found out, I just took a long lunch, went to go see I Am Not Your Negro at the movie theater near my job. First things first, I spent like a half an hour trying to decide whether I was going to go to the theater and buy tickets or spend the extra $1.35 convenience fee to buy it online. Just so I didn't have to walk up to a white person and say, can I have a ticket for I Am Not Your Negro? Like, for some reason, I think I was more tense about that moment than the dude that was selling me the ticket.
Which one did you do?
I went to the spot. I wasn't going to pay $1.35, you know, because I felt some kind of ways about saying Negro in front of a white person. So I was like, you know, we both going to be uncomfortable. Like, you just gonna have to, you gonna have to take it too. Like, I'm good. I, you know, I am not your Negro.
You know? You just gotta be like, listen, James Baldwin at 6.
Yeah. Nah, I was, and then they did not have it like the name of the film listed anywhere. Like, they had like I am or I am not, but they would not finish the sentence on nothing they had written.
Nah, they ain't gonna put that up there.
Nah,
they ain't gonna put that up there.
So I almost didn't think the movie was playing there. Like, I saw it online and it was at that theater, but I'm walking up and I'm reading the names of the. I'm even like standing in front of the ticket counter, like reading the names and the show times, and it's like not there. And then I look over and I see the theater, like it's they got the actual like cover.
I am not.
Yeah, in front of the theater. So I'm like, okay, I know it's here. I'm gonna say, let me see what's in Theater 6.
What was the demographic like?
When I first walked in, it was me and one older black woman, and then it started to fill up. And you know, living here in Austin, a lot of times you can't tell. Mexicans from white people. It's a lot of Hispanics that look just like, yeah. So I don't know. It was two black people and a bunch of others, could be's, would be's. I don't know, but it was a dope experience. I don't really, walking out the theater, I didn't feel like, I don't feel like it meant as much to any of them as it did to me and that one other lady in there. But it was one of those movies that you leave and you really want to have a conversation like. Right away, so I definitely will go see it again with a group or with someone so that I could walk out and have that conversation. But I am not your Negro.
I definitely got to catch it. I've been looking all over. The only place that has it near my house is the Alamo,
South Lamar.
Not the Alamo on Lakeline.
Oh, Lakeline.
So it's crazy because. Basically, the Alamo got it, which is the only theater that serves the theater, not the only theater, but one of the theaters that serves alcohol. So I don't know if I'm not your Negro. And
I'm not your Negro is like a two drink minimum type of film.
You might want to hold off on that one.
But hey, I don't want to be in there with others that's getting a little liquored up because then they might have.
Yeah.
Or that I don't need to be drinking that much because then I might just start taking shit the wrong way for no reason. So. Yeah,
but it'll be a cool experience. That to me is definitely one of those movies. Like, yeah, I don't want to go by myself. I want to go with somebody who I know I'm going to be able to like take something away from. When we have a conversation about it afterwards, whether we're on the same page or not, I just want to be able to have that talk.
Yeah.
So
it definitely connected. Like it's just a shame how relevant
it still is.
It still is,
and that's what I keep seeing.
It is really a shame, but I mean, I think he. I think it's more of a movie for white America to see than it is for black America to see. Because to me, James Baldwin talked more directly to white America than he did. The point was that a lot of the things that need to change don't need to change with us. Like this whole idea that African Americans have made progress. Like, we have always been this. Like we've always been this smart or this talented or this... capable or equal. We've always been that. It is white America that is slowly starting to accept it more and more. It's still not, there. So it's not, we are not making progress. We're exactly who we were from day one. Mm-hmm. You just allowing yourself to notice it more often. I don't know. Chris Rock made that, you know, made that statement a while back. Like, this whole idea of African-Americans making progress in the country. Like, that's to say that we were, like, we used to be stupid and lazy and all that other stuff you accused us of. But we done worked hard and made ourselves better. And now we deserve to be.
We good enough for massa.
We good enough. We should. Can we please stand side by side with y'all?
Like Trump said, I guess we just gonna keep doing better and better.
We'll see. But yeah, that's I don't know. That was my week. That's my week so far. What you got going on with you, Rich?
Man, my week has been up, down, left and right. Long ass weekend, but I mean, I'm still here, so it is what it is. I don't really got any events per se this time, but I will say this: Marshawn Lynch for president.
Yes, beast mode 2020. I'm dead serious about. I'm dead serious about this. The man is a an American treasure. Like he deserves. If Trump can be president, why not Marshawn? But hey, like this here's my things. Here's the reasons why I think Marshawn would be a dope ass president. One, he believes if you want someone with conviction, like people liked the idea that George Bush had all this conviction and he was mm-hmm. the decider, and you know, and the same thing I think people get behind the passion and stuff with Trump, that he has yeah. these convictions, whether they be right or wrong, he just believes in whatever the fuck he believes in. And it ain't no hope in shaking him. Mm-hmm. I think Marshawn is on that level. The things that he believes that are right, the things that he believes, you know, he should stand behind, he stands behind. And if that means he got to go out and say, I'm just here so I won't get fined for 5 minutes every night, he would do exactly, he would tell you.
Those interviews.
Was the greatest interviews of all time, yo. And he would sit there and say, you're going to, you know, I don't know why y'all keep showing up. Cause you're just gonna look at me.
He ain't gonna get no blur from me.
Nothing out of me. Yeah, he ain't blink once.
Uh huh.
Not once.
Yeah. Talking about sandwiches and anything.
That, yeah, that one interview where all he said was yeah. You know, how you feel about the game, Marshawn?
Yeah.
I like how he used to lean in, like he was getting ready to say something. Like, yeah.
But also, he catered those yes too.
Yeah.
Like, did you have was it tiring? Yeah. you had a good time.
Yeah.
I gotta play that interview today.
And then I think he's humble enough, man, to if there's things that he doesn't know, there are things that aren't his strong point, he's gonna lean toward those people he feels do have those strengths. And I know he's a person that doesn't trust easily, mm-hmm. so anybody he trusts automatically gets okay in my book, because I know they got vetted. I know they didn't, you know, that wasn't just a
they have some type of credentials.
They got credentials. They convinced him, and he's hard to convince, so they good with me. I think other countries love him. We just saw the video he did in Scotland. You know, they love Beast Mode over there. He just real.
I love them Skittles, too.
Love them Skittles. You know? Skittles. All right, Beast Mode for president 2020. Why not?
All right, so since we talking about politics, and since we already been brought up, you sent me an article the other day. The deep story of Trump supporters.
Yeah.
So to your point, it was, like you said, it was a short article.
Short article.
Was an accompanying video.
Yeah, it's company interview on NPR radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dope. So, because I remember when the election was happening that I brought up another article where they were talking about Trump country. And like, you know, because we're all sitting here like, where are these people? Like, what?
Where did they show up from?
Like, what are these people who are buying in to this? Mm-hmm. This what sounded to us like pure bullshit. Like,
he pandered.
It
to
wasn't
the
even hard to see it was bullshit. It was just bullshit. Yeah. And that article back then was talking about how, you know, there's this underserved population of white America that people have, you know, forgotten about, mm-hmm. that live in these rural areas, that don't have opportunities, that don't have resources and things. And they kind of get underserved. They kind of get, you know, almost forgotten about. And then he just came and, like, spoke directly to them. And they responded. And in this article, this lady just wrote a book. I don't even remember the name of the book. But I listened to, you know, pieces of her interview. And she was saying a lot of the same things. And how So I guess her point was, is that what resonated with them was not necessarily because they're voting against really their economic interests. Like the stuff that Trump wants to do is not going to help them in life, at all. At least. But he fed into the what she called the deep story. Like, so there's a story that these people, you know, identify with, and it doesn't necessarily have to be true. It just like feels true. And she said it's like being in line, like standing in line, you know, a long line. You've been in line forever. Your feet hurt, your back hurts. You just, but you wait impatiently, you know, and at the end of the line is the American dream. And you just, you know, I'm waiting in line, and you just, you're not mad about being in line. You just know you got to wait in this line and you're going to get there. And then you look up ahead and you see people cutting in line. And you're like, whoa, you know, what's going on? How do they get to cut in line? And I'm still all the way back here. And then you look at the person that's supposed to be in charge of the line, and he's like waving them up, you know, like, come on up. And so that's, you know, what she was saying is that the way, that's the way it's almost, I'm trying to think of the word.
It's a metaphor.
Like the word that it's like, that's the fantasy that they see. Like blacks and Latinos and, you know, women, you know, to some of these people are cutting in line. They're getting all these opportunities via affirmative action, you know, jobs that used to be reserved for them. And I love the fact that she used the word reserved, because that shows how, like, how do you feel slighted when the position was yours because it slighted someone else? And now that it's no longer, you know, reserved for you, you know, it's kind of up for grabs, or maybe, you know, maybe giving some priority to someone else, but it used to be reserved for you unfairly. And now that unfair advantage is taken away, it feels like somebody's cutting in line. Like that's the part that really got to me. Like, but she kept saying that, like, the fantasy doesn't have to be true. It just feels.
That's how they feel.
That's how they feel. And that's what Trump kind of fed into. And even though a lot of his policies are not going to benefit them, he's validating what they feel. He's validating that story. And I felt like the I'm Not Your Negro movie was like the perfect thing for me to see before seeing that, because one of the things that James Baldwin talked about in the movie was how segregation created this like moral apathy. Like half part of the reason you segregate is because it's easier to be able to oppress a people if you don't have to see them. You don't have to see what you're doing. Like if you can put them on the other side of the fence and just, you don't have to know what's going on over there, you know, and eventually you know nothing about what's going on over there. And now the fence may be gone, but we still don't just intermingle. They still don't know what goes on with us. And so that this whole idea they have about the line cutters and their vision of what's happening to them stems from the fact that they really have no idea what's going on that other side of the fence, how difficult it is for people on the other side of the fence, how historically difficult it's been for people on the other side of the fence.
All they know is the grass looks greener.
All they know is their little corner and their little piece. And in the same vein, it's the same on our side. We don't know what life is like for them because we've been separated for so long. We were never over there. We can't. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, it's not something we can identify with, because we don't get the opportunity.
And what's crazy is if we actually gave it the opportunity, if we actually researched it, we probably could wholeheartedly identify with it and understand it, and you know, find some common ground. I think the problem with most African American people, and I say this because I've seen it, I've been told this 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, come up on a, say somebody who lives in a trailer park or whatever, and this person is saying, oh, you know, I'm impoverished, I'm poor, I can't afford to eat. Like, oh, yeah, nice story, I don't want to hear it, blah, 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 blah. And they'll discount, you know, what that person is going through. Anybody can be poor.
Yeah.
It just so happens that systematically we are oppressed at a higher percentage rate. That doesn't mean that whites and others are not oppressed and put down at all.
Right.
But because of the inequality or because of the mathematics of that, or that ratio, people to say, fuck it, I don't care. You know, if 7 out of 10 blacks are going to be impoverished and go poor, but only 3 out of 10 whites are going to do the same, it's like, well, you know, your averages are better than mine, so really, I don't give a fuck about you. When honestly, I mean, they matter too. I'm not saying this to say, you know what I mean? I'm just trying to open eyes. Poor is poor, like you just said. And, you know, I think both parties have to be able to come to the table to understand the other side.
Yeah. So I think that's a little bit of what I was saying, you know, earlier, you know, last year was the way we had gotten so divisive and, you know, like we were pushing people deeper into their belief than we were inviting them to see something a different way. Like, you know, by calling them stupid and blah, blah, blah. We invited them to dig in to what they thought rather than to step out and jump over across that imaginary fence that's not supposed to exist anymore.
Exactly.
And see what's on the other side.
And there are more and more bullshit that happens every day, like fucking Betsy DeVos. I still can't believe she was appointed. She absolutely does not have the credentials. She does not have the knowledge base. Right. She does not have the experience. However, we did it to ourselves. Like, we pushed them so far in a corner that everybody is willing to blindly, you know, write that check and push it through for the sake of just going against.
We told y'all we were right. You told us we were stupid.
And they want to ride the train till the wheels fall off. We can't do nothing about that now.
And I got to give credit where credit is due. The fact that they were strategic enough to hold off on confirming Sessions, because they needed that vote in Congress. You know, he's a congressman. Mm-hmm. If they had confirmed him, he had to give up his seat. They wouldn't have had that vote to make a 50-50 tie. So they held off on confirming him to keep him in his seat so that he could vote, so that he'd get the 50-50 tie, and they go to Pence, and he could be the deciding vote. But that's, you know, that's forethought, that's strategy. You know, so we can't approach these situations with anger and emotion because the other side is like, you know, fuck the bullshit. We gonna plan this out. We gonna shit on y'all in every way possible.
Yeah, this shit is
call us stupid deep. All the call me stupid motherfucker. Look at you. Yeah, I fucked you. What you gonna do about it?
That's exactly what it is. It's a stupid battle. A corny stupid battle happening right now.
This is ego. This is ego versus ego. Man, somebody got to chill. Damn. Well, speaking of it, more of the divisiveness. And this is going to be the last thing we talk about on this divisive stuff. You find something nicer to talk about out there. Oh, man. So the black players on the Patriots that don't want to go to the White House. How do you feel about it? I mean, you know what? And it's been an article after article today. Nobody's talking about the fact that Brady didn't go to the White House last year.
Mm-hmm.
He quote unquote needed some family time, and they caught him at the mall getting his checking out the Apple Watch.
He gonna go now.
But Martellus Bennett and the other dude don't want to go. And they've been. I mean, I've heard cotton picker. I've heard some.
I purposely stayed away from Twitter. Yeah,
Twitter. I feel like I want to because. Man, I get so angry reading that.
See, this is what I'm saying. You know what I'm going through. I got too much going on. Yeah. Sometimes I need a mental break. Yeah. And that thing, Twitter today, would have made me break. Like, I'm going to get to the question in a second. Some of the shit that people say, like, and I'm from New York. I've heard it. Like, I've heard and seen some shit in my life. I bullshit you not.
Fucking moolie.
And I've seen some of everything, and the shit that people write on Twitter. Who raised you? Like, it make you look at people like
that TK Kirkland.
Is this real?
Who raised you then?
Yeah, it's shit crazy. But to answer the question, I mean, they don't want to go, they ain't gotta go. Fuck it.
Hey, I mean,
stand their ground. Fucking Tom Brady stood his ground last year. They going to fire him? They still made their contribution.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, that's going to be the question next year when the Patriots trying to make another run. Is it going to be don't throw the ball to Martellus? Because team want to go to the White House? Or are you going
to make it without Martellus?
You going to go ahead and ride that cotton picker to another Super Bowl? That's the most racist thing I've ever said.
Yeah, but either way, but that's exactly how they feel. Yeah. That's exactly what they're thinking. That's exactly what they're saying. That is verbatim the shit that they're fucking putting out there.
That shit made my chest tight when I said, that was horrible. God damn.
See, you have a conscience. These people, the shit that some people spout.
Jeez, I need to pray.
Taking on a sip of that Old Dude. What are you sipping?
I am sipping a Texas Select non-alcoholic malt beverage. Damn. I kind of feel like Billy D. I ain't never had nothing I drank described as a malt beverage before. So.
Damn, yeah.
Sipping on a malt beverage. What was the slogan for that shit he used to drink back? Coke 45.
I've legit never had a Coke 45.
I've never had a malt liquor.
That's one of those things where it's like, really? Dang. Coke 45, and ain't none of them 60s.
That was the joint with 70s. The bull on it. It had the blue bull. Yeah,
with the gold ring.
I had an uncle who used to drink those. We had our own language. Like he would tell me go get a he cow. Nobody knew what that meant. I know he was talking about a bull. I was like 5 years old getting malt liquor out the refrigerator, but you know. That's life on our side of the fence.
What was crazy though is they was drinking them shits in like 40 ounces.
Yeah.
40? Do you know how big a motherfucking 40 is? How can you sit there and drink a 40?
Yeah. Like, I never seen my uncle. My uncle was a can dude. He drank tall boys, I think. I never seen him on a 40.
Like I put back like what is this? Like 8? 12? 12 ounces? 12 ounces. Like I put back like 3 or 4 12 ounces, but I'm gonna drink a 12, and I'm gonna get a nice ice cold 12, and I'm drinking another one.
Yeah,
you know how long it take to sit there and drink 140?
It got to be warm.
Warm room temperature, tasting like old tea. I can't do it.
Now speaking of that uncle, man, like I used to be, I love my uncle Melvin. I love him. He taught me how to play poker.
Melvin.
Yeah, he taught me how to play poker. I remember watching the Redskins win the Super Bowl. For the first time at his house, we called him Uncle Granddaddy.
Redskins.
But yeah, he had like a.
The Redskins used to win.
Oh, that's fucked up, Rich. Oh, that's fucked up, Rich. I ain't know we was on them terms.
No, okay. We good.
Damn, I just came from my chest hurting from saying some evil shit, and then Reg going, damn, Reg. Rich going,
I would have rather seen arrow on my way. I would have rather seen the Redskins though than the Patriots.
We gonna be there. We on our way. We gonna be there. But now my uncle had this wall unit, and he used to have bottles of 7-Up all on the wall unit. And I used to be in there and just wanted some 7-Up and be like too scared. I don't know why I was scared to talk to him because he was cool as hell, but I'd be too scared to ask him for some 7-Up. And it wasn't until he passed away that I found out that was all moonshine.
It wasn't another
sip of 7-Up up there. If I had asked, that'd have been a hard no. Like, shut the fuck.
Might have been a hard knock life. You might have snuck in there one day. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't. I'd have definitely snuck some 7-Up.
My uncles was not the ones you wanted to fuck around and sneak a sip or something.
So you gonna steal my 7-Up? You gonna
steal my sip? And they never did a thing to me. Like I've never gotten a beating or whooping or nothing from any of my uncles. But for some, I had the fear of God in me or them dude. Like, I don't know what it was. All they gotta do is look at you wrong, and you just feel like your life is in danger. Mm-hmm. You don't know why. I had never seen none of them do anything physical to another human being, but I definitely feared it.
I feel you.
Definitely feared it. I wouldn't doubt it. But yeah, Uncle Melvin. Uncle Melvin. Uncle Granddad.
All right, so me sitting here faking all of these Southern accents, it made me, it's a bad segue. Hey,
you're off from New York.
My bullshit Southern accent, sorry people, yeah. It made me remember that conversation we was having about that post with that teacher. That black teacher, the dude from North Carolina.
The handshakes.
I was doing the handshakes.
The fake LeBron James.
Fake LeBron James. Some of the handshakes is good. Some of them are bad. I used to have, you know, handshakes with my friends, my peoples when I was younger.
Yeah.
We had one. Maybe two.
Yeah, I have no idea how he is remembering.
15, 25 in a row?
All them joints without skipping a beat.
I want to know how much class time they take towards to do that.
Setting up. Yeah.
But anyway, so I
was that one take? Was that one take? Yeah, was that one exactly. Fluid take?
And that's the last time we're going to do this in a row. But I saw that when I originally saw it. I saw a bunch of arguments like, oh, you know, he's wasting class time and this really what they're supposed to be doing in class. And, you know, a bunch of random. I saw some good positive feedback, but a whole bunch of negative feedback, too. Then here comes this white lady. She's doing it with her class, too. Yeah. But after every handshake, she giving them a hug and a booty bump or whatever. And everybody's like, oh, that's so nice. She's really embracing the kids and embracing their individuality. So it's okay. And I hate that everything always has to come back to color. But it was okay when a white woman did it. But when the black man did it, no.
I'm glad you went as far as to read the comments, Rich. Because we talked about it.
And I'll read the comments.
Yeah, we talked about this before we started. And I was on the fence as to whether or not I was going to say how I really felt. Mm-hmm. Really felt? I really felt. I was gonna say how I really felt about the situation, but we family. I'm gonna go ahead and be honest with the people. I didn't know there were comments. I watched the video of the white lady for one reason and one reason only, because she kept her back to the camera and she was jive thick. I mean, that's all I can say. And I was just trying to see how many of these handshakes was gonna make her jiggle. That was all I was.
Now I'm wondering how many other people watched it for her hump.
I thought that's why they put it up there. I mean, it didn't even dawn on me. We needed to talk about the reaction to the black teacher and the white teacher. I thought that the dude that posted it up there posted it for that reason. I mean, we know who posted it up there, and I just figured that that's what he. I mean, maybe I'm just evil. Maybe I go evil first, and then I figure out something good later on.
As a society, pause. As a society, that's what we're getting too. It's like people automatically jump to the negative. There's no more benefit of the doubt. Everything is like fuck it, face value. There's nothing deeper.
Yeah.
And just looking at this is just one more of those situations where it's okay for one, but not for the other. You know, he's overly scrutinized, but she is. Everything is okay.
I say across the board, people, like, man, if y'all don't learn to love teachers soon, that is like the most thankless. My mother was a teacher. It's the most thankless profession that I've ever come across.
Apparently, a whole lot of teachers been getting thanked a whole lot lately.
Well, see, them teachers been
There's one teacher.
And where were these? Man, what school district?
Man, when I was in school, my teachers looked like Granny Smith.
Exactly. I had teachers that wore baggy stretch pants.
Yeah, now they up here 20, 25 looking like billboard models and sleeping with 16-year-olds.
I had the teachers with the mole on their face and a beard. I ain't talking about the dude.
That shit crazy. This one kid, 16. No, one kid is 13. The latest one, he's 13 slept with the teacher.
Who did the menage?
It was the 16-year-old. The 16-year-old who slept with both English teachers. He's 16 and had a threesome with two English teachers.
Two English teachers.
What?
I wonder if their grammar was correct.
That shit. I can't.
They used the proper punctuation. I can't.
But anyway, so I've been seeing a lot of these articles and I've been reading the comments on these. And it's like, damn. On one hand, you got all of the dudes out here talking about, yeah, that's my dude. Like, he really did that, whatever. But then on the other hand, it's like, really? I mean, the way I think about it is, if I was a younger, I'm not going to deny, I may have felt that way. I don't know. You know, if I was a kid in his class, definitely I would have given my boy a pound. Like, oh, shit, you got the teacher. But we're all adults here, so the fact of the matter, as an adult, I don't care. Teacher could be attractive all she wants. She just raped a little boy.
That's it. That's right.
And as me being that child's father, no, you don't get no props for this, son.
Nah.
She took advantage of you. I don't know what your mental state is going to be after this. I don't know what you're going to have to deal with. I don't know what the repercussions are. That's rape. They should, I feel wholeheartedly, all of them should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
So let's take this a step further, because this when you posted that other one on Facebook, I made this comment and I want to make it here and maybe start a dialogue about it, because I'm low key a proponent for men's rights, which is like something you can't say these days, because like men's rights.
Apparently, we don't have them.
Don't y'all have all the rights already? I don't know. So, in this situation, and this is something I learned working in child support, most child support laws do not take into consideration the circumstances under which the child was conceived. Mm-hmm. So, in all of these cases, all of these 13, 16, however young these mm-hmm. dudes were, if the teacher was to get pregnant, most states, like I said, unless something has changed recently, most states consider them liable for child support. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like a 13-year-old. He'd be, 14 by the time the child was born. He could graduate from high school like 4 years in the arrears on child support. And owing now, get your first job, you're already getting your check garnished mm-hmm. in addition to your student loans. Hope you went to college. For child support.
Trying to survive.
So, I don't know.
Trying to survive, can't make it. So, you voting for Trump?
No, you voting for Trump. Yeah, all of a sudden, you looking ahead of line, and your baby that you conceived at 13 just cut ahead of you, and you looking at Trump. Like, how can I get to come up?
That shit is woosah.
Woosah.
Like I said, it's rape. But
it's a different world we live in.
It is what it is.
Because everything's got to be okay.
As a whole, we got to do better, folks.
But what do we say, Rich? Be the change you want to see.
Exactly.
Be the light.
I was just about to say that. I was like, you know what? As I've said it in the last episode, I said the episode before that. And you say it every single day, and I'm starting to believe it. You know, we got to be the light. We got to be the change that we want to be, not just today. But every day. But I started out a shout out at the beginning of the month, and I'm gonna keep saying the same thing. I'm gonna keep with the same motif. You know, this is Black History Month. You know, let's get out here. Let's support our small businesses, our entrepreneurs, our local merchants. You know, let's build our wealth. Let's keep our money black. Let's keep our money minority, and just uplift and empower ourselves. You know, bring Black Wall Street back.
So speaking of that, let me go through. Because we've been doing the episode of day challenge. And, I've tried to just be objective with it and go with, just podcasts I like in general. But it is Black History Month. And I am black. And I tend to enjoy black stuff mm-hmm. a little more than the average American. So most of these people are, I don't think I've done a, I don't know. Some of the people I don't really know, I can't find a picture of them. So I don't know. But I think most of them been black. So I just want to run through and shout out the podcast that we've already done so far. The Girth Podcast, which is a very funny podcast, mostly like says an adult podcast.
In case
it's called The Girth.
In case you ain't get it, it's about the girth. It's
about the girth. Just Say Words Pod. I think that's one of my favorites right there. That dude Jay is the J's, man. I got them J's though, but that's a really dope podcast. I think we're gathering a lot of inspiration from him. I'm trying not to steal too much, mm-hmm. but I can admire and what's the word?
Reappropriate.
Maybe do my interpretation of some of that. We did Black Girl Nerds podcast, mm-hmm. which they are here in Austin South by. I didn't even realize it had already. I forget how much, you get so caught up in the music part of South mm-hmm. by that you forget the comic and the film
and everything else that's
going
on,
video game and the tech part of South by that's already starting. So I see the Black Girl Nerds are already here, getting it in. Power Lunch Hour, another two dudes with a podcast that I find extremely entertaining. I definitely like their Back to Black segment that they do in the beginning of every podcast. So if you get a chance, check them out. Just go look for the episode of day challenge hashtag, and you'll see everybody that we shot it out. Blackout podcast mm-hmm. today. I think maybe the day before with the Podcast Brothers. All of them are good shows. I just suggest if you listen to us, even if you don't listen, if you don't listen to us, you wouldn't be hearing it. If you listen to us and you just want to see, if you're new to podcasts and maybe don't have a whole bunch of different podcasts you listen to, this is a great starting point. Check out the episode of Day Challenge. you might find something else you like. I know they have RG Mode.
Yeah, I was just about to say, definitely want to give a shout out to
blog
my fiance Renee. Her, she's not a, she doesn't have a podcast like you said, but she does have a YouTube channel.
YouTube channel and a blog.
Shout out to her, makeup artist and artist enthusiast, stylist, hairstyle maven, interior designer, fashionista, blogger, vlogger, YouTube personality, every woman and all around good person. you know, definitely check her out. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. She's everywhere. RG Mode. Check her out.
What up, Kicks?
Yeah, she's definitely a big supporter of TWS Multimedia and what is TWS Podcast family.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely got to show some love there.
Hope I didn't miss anybody. I think I hit all the ones we've got. I mean, we're doing it every day, so just check out the hashtag
episode of day challenge,
and you'll find something different every day. Man, what else do we have going on? Oh, I know we expanded the store, so if you haven't already been to the store and taking a look at the shirts and iPhone cases and all the other stuff that we have in store.
Stay tuned. We're working on some stuff more right stuff now. Coming. We got some more stuff coming up. And so, keep watch for it.
Yeah, I said I was only going to let the contest run until this episode posted, but seeing as though new one has even made an attempt, I'm going to go ahead and let it. I mean, at this point, if you leave a comment, you leave a comment to say, hi, free t-shirt, done. If you go to the website.
I don't even say that. Cause
find that episode. No, the first person. Not everybody to say hi.
Man.
If you can be first, and be like, hey, first, hi, it's a t-shirt. Of your choice. Any t-shirt that you choose, they all the same price, I think. So just, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to send you the generic white, you know, whatever one you want. Pick your color, size, whatever. Hook you up. They a dope shirt. The logo is dope. I'm trying to give you something for free, people. Everybody wants a free shirt. Just comment on it.
But yeah, as always, you know, check out ttcharities.org. Tavares Taylor Charities.
I know from time to time, if you make a donation, Tavares will send you a shirt. I'm trying to step your wardrobe game up. You know what I'm saying? Buy black.
Exactly. As always, Flint, Michigan, been without water since clean water since
2014.
I still can't understand.
I shower every day.
Still can't understand.
You know how depressing it would be for me if I go to shower and the water is
dirty. I'm trying to get the dirt off. You throwing it back on?
I don't know how I survived.
Couldn't.
So yeah, please, people, check out whatever programs he has going on. Donate time, money, clothes, toys, books, whatever it is they're looking for. You know, if you can't donate, you know, maybe share it with some friends who can. But let's take care of each other, be our brother's keeper, and you know, keep it in house. Don't make, you know, groups like Tavares go out and try to find corporate sponsors or quote unquote sell out. You know, we can take care of ourselves. So let's support when we can.
Definitely. Also, shout out real quick before we end this, TWS Multimedia LLC. We thank you guys for the opportunity.
Big things coming.
Big things coming.
But yeah, as always, be the light, press play. Why not? Make sure you check out the episode of the Day Challenge. Bye, Black. I don't know what it was.
Peace.
Yeah, peace. I can't find the button. Pause.
That's what she said.